Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. So send us a note if you have an idea or just want to say hi. Our email address is indianaweekend@gmail.com. There's no shortage of challenges for cities like Muncie, but there's also a growing list of hopeful signs. The new downtown hotel comes to mind, facade improvements, new businesses. Now, some are talking about a maker district, a residential area downtown with room for artisans and other skilled workers to put down roots and rebuild the neighborhood. A recent meeting included a discussion about how that kind of development could be encouraged in a number of Muncie neighborhoods. We met up for a walk downtown on one windy day with one of the people backing the idea.
My name is Brian Hollers, and I'm an architect here in Muncie, and I was asked to be involved in organizing of a charrette, organizing of a symposium that had a charrette as part of that. And the symposium was started off to be about an artist district, of developing an artist district as a way of encouraging economic development and community development. And then it evolved into a maker district, which takes the word artist and kind of expands it into craftsmen. So it's anybody who's making and selling things, potentially out of their home or out of a central location or nearby, the relationship between live and work being much, much closer. And so my role in it has been more of an advocate for the reality of what it might take to make this all work, both in building shapes and forms and people. And we're in the Gilbert neighborhood, the Goldsmith-Gilbert neighborhood, one of the oldest neighborhoods in Muncie, and one that has a nice size, a nice proximity to downtown. It really is an interesting place.
Well, how did it get that name?
I think in thinking about how neighborhoods are named, they're normally named from who was there first, or what was going on, or manufacturing happened. And then so many times it's about manufacturing and making things. And let's say this neighborhood had someone who was putting shoes on horses, a farrier in here. He was actually making his living out of doing something in a neighborhood. He most likely lived next door and lived nearby, which is kind of the origins of this whole idea, is coming out of starting neighborhoods around people living and working in the same place.
That's the way cities used to be organized, right?
As far as I can tell, they all started that way.
And tell us where exactly we are. We're at near the corner of...
Near the corner of Jefferson and North Street. And it's we're in between Gilbert and North on Jefferson. And it's so close to downtown. You can see Muncie Civic Theater, the corner of it. You can see the back of Jack's Camera. You can see City Hall. And it's right in town, but also neighborhood. If you walk through here, it's really had a lot of hurt put on it in the last several years.
Well, people would look around Muncie and say that has happened here, that's part of the story of Muncie.
It's a part of a lot of stories of a lot of communities. And I think in terms of our own development and growth, it's easier and cheaper to go out in the suburbs and buy a piece of farmland and convert it into something new and keep growing cities out. That works as long as your population continues to grow. But our population in Muncie and most towns this size is not growing. And what you're leaving is a donut hole in the middle of no people.
And you lose something if you give up on a city, in the center of the city.
You lose everything. Like I said, imagine coming to vacation in Muncie, and someone would show up, and you would go to MacGyver in the mall. That's really not a vacation. If you're going to go vacation in Charleston, South Carolina, you're going to go to Charleston. And I think for Muncie or any community like this to find a way to survive, it's going to need to be a place that people want to go and see what's happening and be a part of the experience.
It seems as if we're seeing more people move back into the city center. Is that my imagination?
No, not at all. Look at Indianapolis. What a great example. Of anybody that was in Indianapolis in the early to mid-80s, to imagine what it is today is an incredible change. And that was a very purposeful change as well, from past mayors really saying we have to grow our city and really make it be a place, a destination. And through the amateur sports and now the conventions, and really putting a lot of money and effort into downtown, they can't build enough apartments in downtown Indianapolis. The downside of that for Muncie is people move from here to there. So here we are in this place, really trying to find our own population again.
And listen, there's the sound of the trains, which is part of Muncie, right?
It always has been. It's part of manufacturing and movement. It just really is the reality of what a city is.
By the way, we're standing here outside like a what looks to be a former commercial building.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yep.
there's a cat in the window here.
Looking out.
Looking out, knocking the shades aside and trying to. There's something about these neighborhoods, the character of them. They're not cookie cutter stamped out. There's history all around here.
Oh, there really is. And in every community, this kind of history is every place we look. And I think most everyone really values that history. And what's funny about it is, for me, is that we really don't try to even recreate this kind of history. If we're going to be developing subdivisions, you very rarely see streets and subdivisions that are straight. They don't come to corners. There are certainly no alleys. There's no tree plat, sidewalk, front yard, front porch, front door. It's a garage door pushed up at the front, and this is who we are as a garage door. Whereas these neighborhoods really have a quality of place and space that is really fascinating. And really helpful for encouraging neighbors' relationships, for protection of kids on the street when they're playing, because there's always someone on the front porch watching. There's a lot of factors in these neighborhoods that evolved out of a very need-based living arrangements.
What would we not, those of us who've more recently arrived, what would we not know about Muncie's history? I think of, for instance, some of the homes on the east side of downtown that were built during the gas boom. I mean, there was this period where this was the preeminent, not exactly the Silicon Valley, but I mean the...
It was pretty close to that because of the natural gas boom, and there's a very interesting map that maps the natural gas reserves that were, or natural gas areas in Indiana with rail lines, and the trains in Indiana basically mapped those, and we had one of the most vibrant public transportation systems in the entire country right here in Indiana. Indianapolis had one of the busiest train stations up until like the 1930s in the country, and then about the 1940s it was gone. It was disappeared, and I think Muncie has some of those remnants left of a great corporations. So many companies were here, so many car manufacturers were here. There were several car manufacturers in Muncie throughout its history. And I think that's one of those things that we really forget about, that origin of what made the community and city work.
That's Brian Hollers, an architect who helped organize the Muncie Maker District Symposium on April 3rd to talk about creating neighborhoods where people who make things live and work. We walked around the downtown Gilbert neighborhood just east of City Hall, where you or I might see some urban distress. Brian sees possibility and hope for a different kind of downtown living.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
When I first heard Makers District, I was thinking of shoemakers or blacksmiths or something. I'm kind of imagining in my mind what would be happening in San Francisco, where you have groups of high-tech people getting together.
I really think that's part of it. In fact, the logo for the Muncie Maker District Symposium has an iPhone in the logo, because I think that kind of technology is very possible. I mean, there are some folks here in downtown right now who are manufacturing very high-tech installations, and it's in downtown, and you would never know they really existed there, but that's the kind of thing that we need to inspire. And the bigger picture behind this is trying to inspire people to want to be someplace, which is a much different solution than to plop down a building and ask them to move in. If you can encourage them to want to be here, and then we can set up an infrastructure that allows it to happen, both from zoning and from ordinances, even from building codes in some cases, and from the physical infrastructure of streets and sidewalks and those kind of things, if the area is primed for folks to move in, live and work in the same area, and it's encouraged by a community, I think you'll find they're going to show up on their own, and that's the best kind of showing up. They're not showing up looking for a handout, they're wanting showing up looking for an opportunity.
So is it right that there's sort of a movement going on that says if you want to help your community, it's not necessarily about attracting the largest factories that might move in, although that could be a part of it, but it's making it an interesting place to live for creative class or what have you?
An interesting place to live is why we exist. There's not too many people who, as they will say, you know, on their tombstone, it doesn't say, "I wish I would have worked more." You know, it never says that. We exist here to kind of have a good quality of life. And to have a good quality of life, there's a lot of things that go with that. And downtown Muncie has a lot of great things going on right now, from restaurants to pubs to stores. Encouraging people to want to live down here is the key to making this a successful place. And if we can set up situations where someone can live and work in a nearby neighborhood or a community, we're going to find that they're a lot more prone to show up and want to be here.
So The idea of a maker's district is an area where you can have businesses and residential in the same.
That's exactly right, which is like, imagine Muncie 200 years ago. You know, it's the same exact scenario. It's just allowing it to happen. And in this country, and compared to the rest of the world, we really have turned our back on the idea of live work relationships, and have decided that once we decide that this is a business district, that's all can happen in there, or it's a residential district, that's all that can happen in there. But that also discourages people to live near where they work.
Do you have in mind any cities you think that are doing this right, or areas that are doing this right?
There are a lot of great examples out there of very new districts like this. There are none in Indiana, and potentially not many of them that have started off with this as a goal. So, but they're all over the country. There are some that are in Philadelphia, and I believe there's some up in the state of Washington. So it's happening in other places. It's also I don't want to say a new idea, it's certainly not new, but it's one that's taking some time for people to get their heads around what it really means.
You get more leverage out of your community development dollars if you view this as an effort to make an interesting place to live, do what you can to create an attraction for people, not just always businesses.
Oh, that's definitely right. And I think the way you would look at a development like this, or a movement or an idea, would be that it would not need any public funds. It needs to be private funds, because otherwise we've set up a scenario where it is taking money out of where that money can be spent someplace else. And I think that for this to happen, it needs to come out of the private sector, and the way to do that is to encourage someone to want to live there and want to be part of it, which has a lot of factors in it. But I don't think this is at all about the city handing money out for someone to do something, because that would then, I think, create the wrong reason to be there.
So here we are in one of the neighborhoods just east of City Hall. And, you know, to my suburban eyes, this looks pretty, you know, challenged here.
Right.
I'm looking at housing stock that's kind of beat down, and sidewalks and curbs, for example, that could use some work. Mm-hmm. What do you see when you look here? Are you seeing the possibilities, or?
Well, certainly I'm seeing the possibilities, but what you're seeing is the reality. And I think this is a reality of what happens when money is taken out of a city, which means people take their money and move somewhere else to suburbia. And this is what happens, what's left over. I think one of the best things about these kind of neighborhoods is location to other amenities. That from this one spot, someone lives in this neighborhood, they can walk to City Hall, they could walk to Muncie Civic Theater, they could walk to Cornerstone Center for the Arts, they could walk to Tui Pool, they could walk to down south to Heekin Park, you walk to McCullough Park, you can walk to Minnetrista, and everything I just mentioned, the farthest walk is to Heekin Park, and that might be a 15-minute walk to get there, but you could walk to all kinds of amenities. We're going to have a hotel downtown, you could walk to the convention center, someone could stay here. 30 years ago, there used to be a train that came through here. You could take a train to come to Muncie and do those kind of things. So I think the walkability of a neighborhood, its existing shapes and forms are really important, because it really has, I think, a lot to say about history and a lot to say about neighborhoods and a lot to say about cities that work well or communities that work well.
Now, why this neighborhood? Why not 10 blocks south?
That's a very good question. And this is one of those, as an exercise, picking a smaller area to focus and look at is just much easier. It will work anywhere. It could be the entire town of Farmland. The whole thing could be that. Or it could be the whole South Central neighborhood. It could be a lot of places. It's just such a big task that it needs to start in an area where it's a little less cumbersome in size.
How might this look? How might this neighborhood change?
Well, in some ways, I don't think it would change at all. I think you would have streets and sidewalks and alleys and buildings of a variety of sizes, both more commercial buildings, in some ways small little industrial buildings. You would have single-family residences. You would have multifamily residences. It's all those factors. I think you would just see housing stock begin to grow and housing stock begin to be filled with people. You would see people beginning to use the alleys again. You would see streets being improved, sidewalks being improved. I really think it's a vision of starting over almost in a neighborhood, and that starting over involves a lot of components that we're all very familiar with, though. There's nothing unique about the solution, it's just showing up and doing it.
It's a beautiful morning.
Muncie architect Brian Hollers, who grew up here and is passionate about the possibilities for Muncie's downtown neighborhoods. He recently helped organize the Muncie Maker District Symposium. We took a good walk around the Gilbert neighborhood one recent day, sunny and windy, saw the abandoned service station that Scott and Joe Boyce are converting into an apartment, saw other improvements, signs of a future somehow different from the gloomy perspective of years past.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Went for something of a downtown Muncie walkabout the other day with Brian Hollers with Studio 3 Architects. We were talking about the Maker District idea, the notion of helping revitalize neighborhoods to make them live and work centers for artisans and other skilled workers. As we walked, we came to one of Brian's favorite places, the Muncie Civic Theater.
This is a point of history for Muncie as well.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, it's a theater that's been around since around the 30s and was vaudeville theaters, a variety of kind of theaters. It was a star theater. And I think its history as Muncie Civic is what most people remember it as. And Muncie, the Civic Theater itself has gone through quite a few changes. And right now, really, there's a really good set of shows that are on. We have great casts and staffs. And really, we're doing a lot to really bring this theater back and really provide an opportunity for people to come and see what live theater can be.
So one way to think about this is we're standing in a theater and there's somebody up on the stage putting together a set for the next production. One way to think of this is, well, it's a Muncie Civic Theater, but this is also if what you want to do is, whether the term is revitalize or renew downtown or something like this, it's places like this that make the walkable experience of living downtown part of...
That's absolutely right, and literally to have this theater two blocks from the Gilbert neighborhood is very important because I think that's all providing that walkable, livable community. These resources are invaluable, both from the standpoint of coming to see a show and participation. It's all volunteers on stage, and people can volunteer to be part of it, and to be part of an art culture or making kind of culture, these things kind of work hand in hand.
There's a vision of this area where on one corner maybe you have somebody's building bicycles or something like that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And the idea that you're bringing together people who are small entrepreneurs doing things with themselves or one or two other people at a very small scale, basically selling the products they've made to make their living. And that is a model for all small towns and really is a model for, I think, putting people to work in a way that is very, very impressive and very sound business model.
And this week's effort, the symposium, you're hoping is part of the idea that you get the word out so people who want to do this know, oh, we can do it here.
That's absolutely right. And most of the attendees we have coming to the symposium are from other community development offices around the state, from other nonprofit organizations that do community development, and from just interested citizens who are curious about what this thing might mean, because it is an inspiring side of economic development. Again, the idea to inspire people to want to live someplace is really a powerful idea.
How do we know when we're successful? Is it a matter, do you look at the number of residents in the downtown? Are there metrics for success when you look at projects like this or ideas like this around the country?
That's a very good question. And I think the short answer would be, I think we'll know when we know, and it's going to be a weird kind of an answer, but I would think in some ways when it takes on a life of its own, when it no longer needs to have the champion stand up in front and leading the ship, when it's moving down a direction of economic development that is, people are on their own showing up and investing their time and effort and money in a place, I think when you can find success.
For now, you kind of count your victories by the buildings that you see that have been saved, right? Is that one way to think about it?
I think the buildings certainly are a nice component of it, but I also don't know that we really need to stay with the past is not defining where we're going. I think the inspiration and kind of even the marker for why we would do it is, again, the location in the city and how all of downtown Muncie itself is beginning to find its own life. And because these neighborhoods are nearby and they provide, in some cases, a lot of blank slates, there's a lot of vacant ground or a lot of barren ground in that neighborhood that allows for a lot of dreaming to happen. And that's a big component of it. The new buildings that will go in, if new buildings are built, they won't necessarily be historic looking buildings. They'll be contemporary buildings. They'll be fit into the language of the neighborhood in terms of what it needs to be from a historic standpoint. But I don't know that we're going to be recreating the past along the way, but it's against the location, it's the walkability that makes it important.
Are there structures that particularly fit in well here? And I think of some neighborhoods on the near north side of Indianapolis where The housing stock had been really beat down. There are new homes there, but they're not, but they're, you know, they fit that area. The architecture that's going in there fits that area.
That's exactly right. And I think that's a very good example of a transformation of a neighborhood. We had done some work down the neighborhood on the near north side around 16th Street about 20 years ago, and it was not the same place it is now. And the new infill projects that have happened, the housing projects, the commercial projects, are really an inspiring kind of a model for what a neighborhood can become.
Is it possible that Muncie could show the way for other communities like this around the country?
I definitely think so, and I think that Ball State and the Ball State students in particular could be a huge part of this. The idea of thinking about an entrepreneurial lifestyle that someone has chosen, and they could move from college in the same city, relocate themselves, begin to perfect their craft, and move up and scale up their businesses and have this incubator step along the way as a really important part of it. And I think that's also a demographic of resident who would be willing and able to put up with the sirens going by and the trains. And that's a very important part of this, is finding the right demographic of people. They want to be here. They want to ride their bike. They want to do those things that older people really have maybe forgotten about or no longer interested in doing. But those younger people that would live in a neighborhood like this, it's perfect for them. The idea that they could work in there on the first floor of their house and walk to have dinner in a restaurant downtown, walk to the theater, and then go to a pub and have a beer afterwards and walk back home. What a great environment. It's like being in a city.
I guess the cost of living here would have to be considered a strong attraction, right?
If you're comparing this to Boston, let's say, yes, this is a much more reasonably priced place to live, and allows this first step to be a small one and not an investment that your entire family would suffer from what it cost you to do it.
Are there signs of hope today that we would not have seen in the 1980s or the 1970s around here, do you think?
I definitely think so, and I think it's the awareness that the things that cities and towns had to offer aren't available anyplace else. That in Hamilton County, they've built several shopping areas that look like little towns, which is still very bizarre because they let cars screech through them when they basically left their downtown to go do this, to rebuild this thing out there. And I think that some people are really aware of that. And the idea also that people can participate in it and start their own business.
Brian Hollers, a Muncie native who left town after college at Ball State and then made his way back here, rediscovering a love for the city and a passion for the possibilities of its neighborhoods. He's one of the organizers of the recent Maker District Symposium, intended to spur some thinking about neighborhoods as live and work centers for artisans and other skilled workers. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.